Here is a special reminder for our on-demand and podcast listeners. KFUO will be celebrating our worldwide ministry with Share-a-thon 2016, a three-day live event Thursday, April 21st through Saturday, April 23rd. Listen on our worldwide stream and on AM 850 KFUO in St. Louis. Join us and enjoy all the live fun, plus hear from some of your favorite on-air friends. Again, Share-a-thon 2016 is April 21st through April 23rd. If you can't listen live during our 3 days of Share-a-thon, remember you can support us online anytime at KFUO.org. Just click a Give Now button on our website, or you can email us and ask us about other giving options. Email gifts at KFUO.org. It's KFUO supporters like you who make these worldwide online programs possible. Please prayerfully consider supporting KFUO today. And thank you for listening and supporting KFUO.
You're listening to Faith and Family. I'm Andy Bates. Lots of great conversation ahead of us today. Talk about nutrition for older adults. And in the second half of the program, we'll learn about something that a pastor is doing to encourage other congregations in the Mid-South District of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. It's called Cycle and Serve. He's riding his bike across the Mid-South District. We'll learn about Pastor Bill and what he's doing to encourage others and how LCEF is a part of that as well. We're going to talk about nutrition here, specifically nutrition for older adults in just a little bit with our friend Melissa Hoffman. She's a registered dietitian at Lutheran Senior Services here in the St. Louis area. I want to say thanks to our underwriter, Concordia University, Wisconsin, for supporting Faith and Family on Worldwide KFUO. Find out more about them on our website, kfuo.org, in the sponsor section. And also want to remind you about Share-a-thon 2016 coming up next week, 1 week from today. Share-a-thon 2016 begins. You can partner with us as we embrace the future, learn about becoming a day sponsor or a supporter of Worldwide KFUO, and hear all the guests. We have a huge list of guests lined up for next week for Share-a-thon. Hope you can join us for that Thursday, Friday, Saturday next week. Joining me in studio now, Melissa Hoffman, a registered dietitian and regional dietitian for Lutheran Senior Services, serving at Laclede Grove Senior Living Community here in St. Louis. Melissa, welcome to Faith and Family.
Well, thanks for having me.
I love talking about nutrition. I love talking about food, and I love talking with dietitians who know nutrition and food. And everyone that I talked to beforehand said, Melissa is the person at LSS. And you've been with Lutheran Senior Services for some time now. Going on, is this 9 years? Is that right?
9 years, yes.
9 years. What do you love about being a dietitian, a regional dietitian with LSS?
What I love the most is just spending time with the residents and trying to teach them, you know, nutrition and how to, you know, incorporate good food into their diet so they can, you know, live healthy lives and continue to do everything that they want to do.
What drew you into this profession? When did you know, I want to be a dietitian? I want to be a professional that helps others learn about nutrition.
Funny enough, it was actually in high school I knew I wanted to do this. I knew I wanted to go into healthcare. I loved the preventative health aspect of dietetics. So it wasn't just a healthcare field where, you know, somebody's sick and I fix them. You know, it was trying to help keep people healthy throughout their lives. I'd seen my mom go to a dietitian, so that's where I learned what a dietitian does and saw the important information that they gave to my mom that really helped her out. So that's where I learned what dietetics was and knew that that's the path I wanted to go.
So nutrition and dietetics is a proactive approach to a healthy lifestyle. Rather than, it can help if I'm sure if you have a condition or something, it can help.
Certain disease or condition that requires nutrition, change in diet to help manage that disease. But, you know, really it can help, you know, prevent diseases too.
Absolutely. What was most, surprising to you along your way in your education? Because I know that to become a professional like you, that's quite an extensive education, lots of studies along the way. Well, as you were studying this to prepare for this profession, was there anything that was just really surprising to you as you were learning and studying?
I think what was surprising to me was just how much I could do with a degree in dietetics. There's so much dietitians can do. They can work in hospitals, they can work in long-term care, but they can also work, you know, in other community programs. You know, so it was what I could do with it that really surprised me.
Is there a specific area of nutrition and dietetics that you really love, or something that's this just most intriguing to you?
Well, I really enjoy the medical aspect of it. That's what I got my my emphasis in, both my undergrad and my postgraduate degree. My master's degree was both in medical dietetics. So that's really where my real passion is.
So that prepares you for working in a clinical setting. Mm-hmm. What is, tell me about your work at LSS. What is your responsibility at Lutheran Senior Services?
Sure. So I provide clinical dietetics, clinical nutrition to residents living in our long-term care, living in our assisted living, and also in our REACH program is actually where I spend most of my time trying to teach residents how to, you know, eat healthy. So, you know, hopefully the goal for them is always going back home. So hopefully they can, you know, continue to thrive at home, continue doing what they want to do.
So this is many in the REACH program, they're there for a short term, generally, and preparing to maybe making some lifestyle changes, preparing to go back home. What are some of what are some of the needs that need to be addressed in a short term stay like that? What are some of the nutrition issues that come up that need to be addressed?
Well, they're very individualized, but probably the most is, you know, several of them have multiple chronic diseases. So teaching them diet and how to handle all of that. Some of them, you know, may have some malnutrition and are sort of struggling with eating at home. So giving them tips on how to, you know, improve their diets at home.
What are some of the conditions or diseases that older adults might face that can be addressed or that need to be addressed with nutrition and diet?
The big ones are definitely diabetes, congestive heart failure, kidney disease, and heart disease. Those are all, I would say I see those the most.
Well, let's take a look at diabetes. I would imagine in this case for older adults, it's most likely type 2 diabetes is probably the most common that you face. How to begin a conversation about that when it comes to nutrition, especially, you know, we're talking about an older adult who probably has established habits when it comes to lifestyle and eating. I know I have my habits that I've established. How do you begin a conversation like that? What do you start to address and how do you help them?
So the first thing we kind of do is look at their diet history. So I'll ask them to go through what a typical day is at home. When do they eat? You know, what times do they eat? How much are they eating? And then kind of tailor, you know, those specific things to their, make suggestions on how to improve that for better glucose control. A lot of times they'll tell me, oh, I avoid sugar. Well, trying to teach them that, you know, it's more about carbohydrates and, you know, how to balance those carbohydrates throughout the day and into foods that they want to eat. Mm-hmm.
Sure. We might say, I'm avoiding things with sugar, so I'll look at labels and see if sugar is an ingredient, or I'll look at what the sugar content is in the nutrition information on a label. But that, what I hear you saying is that's probably not enough.
Right. I always tell them, I wish they would just take that sugar number off. Not that it's not important, but really you need to be looking at the total carbohydrate in that food product more so than the sugar.
What happens when it comes to, you know, what's a large amount of carbohydrates? I don't know. I'm sure it's individualized for each person, what do we need to look at? How do we make that change if, you know, if we're experiencing type 2 diabetes and we're looking at carbohydrates? I realize that granted this is an individualized case, but in general, is there something we should be paying attention to when it comes to carbs?
Yeah, you want to look for something with whole grains in it, something with fiber. I generally recommend that they, you know, try to find a product with a serving of greater than 3 grams of fiber in it, because that's going to help manage their glucose longer, help it keep it down longer than, you know, eating something that's, you know, simple sugars, simple carbohydrates, something that's just, you know, white bread that's going to make their blood sugar rise really quick and then come down pretty quick.
All right, here's the fun quiz. I'm not going to put you on the spot, but let's say a client says, okay, so typically for breakfast, I would have, maybe they're extravagant, maybe they have French toast a couple times, maybe a couple times a week, and they're experiencing type 2 diabetes. What would you have a recommendation for them? And maybe, I love French toast. It's my favorite thing. That's what I want to eat all the time if I could, but I only do it like 2 or 3 times a week.
Sure, I would, you know, maybe talk to them, you know, maybe try to get it down to maybe once a week or so, and also try to recommend, you know, something with a whole grain bread. It's not that they can't have it. I never like to take food away from people, but, you know, something that's a little bit healthier, something with less carbs in it. And then also, you know, talking to them about what they put on their French toast. Could they maybe put some fresh fruit on instead of, you know, syrup or so, you know, just trying to make alternatives.
Sure.
So that way it's not taking away the food from them.
I love that answer. I have a blood sugar issue, and so I made that switch probably over, about 20 years ago, too, to whole grains and things like that. And but I love breakfast foods, and that's probably the toughest part when it comes to carbs. I know, and desserts, too, are kind of the challenging part. But I've learned to make things like French toast and pancakes in a way that are a little bit lower in carbs and whole grains, and I love that. Have you ever made peanut butter French toast?
No,
like a peanut butter sandwich?
No, I haven't.
It's kind of like a Monte Cristo sandwich, peanut butter sandwich, and then you dip it in the egg batter, and then, oh yeah. It's probably loaded in calories, but...
It's got some protein in there with the peanut butter.
It does. You could put fruit in it too with the peanut butter as well. And then, yeah, we don't use regular like breakfast syrup. Sometimes we'll use just a tiny amount of real maple syrup or agave or coconut syrup or something like that instead. How fun. Okay, so breakfast can be a challenge when it comes to trying to reduce those carbs, but I like your approach to that, you know, not taking away food. That's the kind of dietitian I like, the one who doesn't want to take away all my good stuff, all my favorite delicious stuff.
Well, I don't want to do it myself, so.
Right. See, that's a smart dietitian, one who understands, okay, I wouldn't want to do this myself, so why would I make anybody else do that? What about other meals throughout the day that any other changes to look at or other habits to look at when it comes to how you might look at type 2 diabetes with a client?
Well, especially with older adults, trying to just increase their protein. Protein's very important for older adults and also helps control blood sugar. So trying to find different ways to add protein into their diet and, you know, throughout the day. Protein always seems to be a challenge with older adults.
I think with a lot of us, but yeah, I'm sure with older adults as well, we put it off. I know with my little son, it's challenging because he doesn't, well, the only protein he likes is dairy. Otherwise it's all fruit.
Right.
Some dairy. That's challenging. And I guess when we get into our older years as well, we kind of go back to that where we don't want all the proteins as much. We like the carbs and the simple things.
Yeah. And there's a lot of things that go into it. So like sometimes, you know, if their teeth aren't very good, chewing meat is tough.
Sure.
They also just, you know, cooking meat for one or two people is difficult. So just trying to incorporate more protein into their diet.
Sure.
Always trying to find ways to do that.
Now, I know we've been talking about diabetes and we'll talk about some of the other illnesses or conditions that you mentioned as well. I guess I should make a disclaimer. We're not treating anyone today or diagnosing anyone today. We're just talking about in general, some of the things that, that you deal with and in your line of work. We're not diagnosing or treating anyone. Certainly we'd want someone to meet with a dietitian on a one-to-one basis and seek the professional help. We talked about diabetes. What were some of the other issues or illnesses that you mentioned or conditions?
Congestive heart failure. So we're always trying to teach people how to reduce their sodium, their salt intake, to try to control swelling and just to help them feel better. So salt's a big one too, that we're always trying to teach people how to reduce.
That would be a tough one for me. I love cheese.
Oh, there are some cheeses that have less salt in them though. Such like cheddar and mozzarella. So, yes.
Well, those are two of my favorites. I didn't realize cheddar was lower in sodium.
A little bit lower. So, you know, it still has salt in it, but it is lower than, you know, an American cheese or a processed cheese. So, you know, and if you just sprinkle a little bit on, you know, that way you still get it, but it's a little bit less. Also, you can buy from the deli, you know, lower sodium cheeses, Swiss cheese.
So like 4 slices on a smothered sandwich, ham and cheese sandwich smothered with like butter, garlic butter and salt. Yeah, probably not so smart. Okay. But there are ways to make it healthy. It's whole grain, whole grain bread.
Right.
So congestive heart failure, another issue that can be addressed with nutrition. And you mentioned a couple others.
Malnutrition is another big one that we see in older adults. They're just not eating enough, or they're not eating the right kinds of foods. Some nutrients you need more of as you age, such as calcium, vitamin D, protein, folic acid, vitamin B12. So just trying to teach them, you know, as they age, they need to incorporate some of these nutrients into their diet more often.
And as a dietitian, I would assume that you prefer we get these from food, get these nutrients from food, right?
Right. But I always say to a resident, you know, sometimes you can't get it, you know, you may be deficient enough where you may need a supplement. So I always recommend that they talk to their doctors, talk about some of their symptoms that they may be feeling. You know, if they're feeling tired all the time, maybe they do need to have their iron tested. So I always recommend that they talk to their doctor first before they, you know, start a supplement, just to make sure they're getting the right kind.
In talking about some of the, you know, in other conversations that I've had with folks from LSS and other places talking about just health issues for older adults, it seems like especially when one lives alone, we start facing isolation. That's one of the great things about LSS communities is that that helps reduce that isolation, getting connected and with others, living in close proximity to others so that you live in community and get to know. I would imagine then nutrition really becomes an issue as well when one starts to become isolated because maybe not as motivated to eat. You know, that's something, it's a social thing.
Right.
Eating
it
can be a social thing.
Right.
So I guess that's certainly something to watch for in loved ones who may live by themselves. What are signs? How do you look for that? How do you watch for malnutrition in loved
ones? Losing weight unintentionally, if they're, you know, having more infections, you know, they may not be getting the hydration that they need. If they're weak, if they're losing ability to do things that they used to be doing, that might be another sign that they're not getting the nutrition they need. They just don't have the energy that they should. Those are all signs that they may not be getting the nutrition they need. But the biggest one is unintentional weight loss. If you're losing weight and you weren't trying.
Any practical tips to help, you know, caregivers or family members who might suspect that there's some malnutrition occurring for a loved one?
Sure. You know, you definitely would want to mention it to your doctor, but also to, you know, just find out what works for your person that you're caring for. Some people eating 3 days or 3 meals a day might not be practical, and they need smaller, more frequent meals. Finding things that they really like to eat. You know, some people it's drinking maybe a little bit easier than eating, you know, all the time.
Sure.
So, you know, finding something like a smoothie or something, something with nutrition in it, are all things you can do.
A smoothie date with the grandkids.
There you go.
Practical way to improve nutrition. A smoothie date with grandkids or with adopted grandkids. Some, you know, with younger folks. Kids love smoothies too, I think.
They do.
We did.
I think everybody loves smoothies.
I do. I start off my day with most of the time with a smoothie or a shake.
I do too, sometimes.
What are some of the favorite dishes for among your residents at LSS? What are some of the favorite things that they love there that help you accomplish your nutrition goals as well?
Well, they love the things that they grew up eating.
Sure.
They love things like spaghetti. They love fried chicken.
Who doesn't?
Yeah. So, I mean, they love the things that they grew up eating. Mm-hmm. My residents don't get too excited about, you know, things like Mexican, Chinese food. It's just they didn't have it growing up. So they like the things that they grew up. Breakfast is very big. They all grew up with big breakfasts. So breakfast is the biggest meal of the day.
So what's the favorite breakfast? What do you do for breakfast that gets all the points?
Oh, they love the bacon, especially because the smell of it. We have kitchen in our long-term care. We have kitchens, so they're cooking the food right there. So the residents will wake up and smell the bacon down the hall. And so I mean, we have typical big breakfast every morning: bacon, eggs.
I'm ready to move in.
Yeah, you know, yogurt, fruit. you know, hot cereal, cold cereal. So we serve a big breakfast every morning.
We have a cafe here in the building, and they do bacon every morning as well. And I have to walk past it to get to my office in the morning and then to get to the studio. And I smell that bacon in the morning, and it's just, oh man, that's tough on some days to pass that up, because there's something about the smell of bacon.
It is.
I don't know. Is it the maple or the sugar that it's cured with, and the salty sweet?
I think it's just, it's just a very distinctive smell.
It's all those three things that Americans are raised to love: salt, fat, and sweet.
Right. All the things we have to limit.
All the things we're supposed to limit. You're right. They're all, that's what it is. It's the trifecta in one thing. Oh goodness. So breakfast is the big winner among that generation. Mm-hmm. And you mentioned spaghetti and fried chicken. Mm-hmm. Are there ways that that we can, you mentioned bacon, we need to, you know, the has all those things that we need to keep in check. Are there ways to address these and keep it in check, to offer a healthier choice, a healthier approach to some of these? Spaghetti, meatballs, fried chicken, breakfast.
So, if you are somebody that needs to watch your salt, you know, trying to teach them, putting some breadcrumbs on chicken and, you know, baking it instead of, you know, the deep fry pan frying it with a little bit of, you know, olive oil or, you know,
I use coconut oil.
Mm-hmm.
Coconut oil and instead of breadcrumbs, almond meal.
Oh.
It still gives it that crunch. We do that with chicken tenders.
Yeah.
I don't know. Have you ever tried that?
No, I haven't.
It gives it a little bit of crunch, and the coconut oil gives it that real buttery taste. Yeah, it's almost like frying it in butter, but I would never fry chicken in butter. No. Oh, that sounds good. Not nutrition at all. No, it doesn't. Okay, I just ruined it. All right. So baking it instead of frying it, to doing some breadcrumbs
and
baking it.
This time of year, grilling.
Oh, yeah.
You know, putting some vegetables with it. Mm-hmm. So,
how about spaghetti? Spaghetti and meatballs. How do you approach that?
Try to teach them, lean hamburger or switching even to ground turkey are good ways to, decrease the fat, the salt. So that's what, and trying to make their own, may not always be practical to make your own pasta sauce, but, using, more tomatoes in it. And just
I bet there are some talented residents that could help cook some mean pasta sauce.
We have several residents that grew up on the hill, and they know they're Italian.
Aha. Uh-huh. So I bet they can make some really good sauce.
They can.
Call me.
Yes, they usually tell us we're not doing it right.
Yeah. You just call me when they're How about the pasta itself?
I try to tell them, whole grain would definitely be better. Mm-hmm. Some of them are like, no, I just can't go there. The taste.
They didn't grow up with it.
Yeah, and I say, well, maybe if you mix half and half. That way you're not losing the taste of the other. And, gradually, over time, increase it maybe 3/4 whole grain until you can get yourself up to 100% whole grain. That I do understand it is a different taste. And if you're not used to it, then it can be a bit much. And I don't want to turn you off of it, to start with. So maybe mix half and half. Maybe that can be a good compromise.
We do whole grain pasta in our house, and our son likes it. And for my parents, it was later in life they started making that switch, and it was kind of that approach too, half and half, and then eventually making that full switch. Now, when it comes to macaroni and cheese in our house, we make the macaroni from scratch.
Yeah, that's what I do at home too.
The actual noodles from scratch.
Yeah. Oh, I don't go that far.
That's like an all-day process, but it's delicious.
I don't do the craft, but I don't go as far as making my own noodles.
That's an all-day process. It's fun though. Yeah, that probably might be a little time intensive for your line of work. Well, those are some great ideas. How about breakfast with just another minute or so? How do you approach breakfast? You mentioned bacon and eggs and all the good stuff. Any thoughts there?
Well, I definitely recommend eggs. Mm-hmm. That they now say up to one egg a day, doesn't affect your cholesterol level. Plus, it's just great to get protein in for them. It's inexpensive. So I definitely encourage eggs with the resident. And then I usually try to tell them to balance it out, maybe with some yogurt, some fruit. Maybe we can't have bacon every day, but... balancing it out with something else.
I'll accept that. Can have bacon every day. If you allow me to have some bacon, Yeah, you know, every once in a while.
Christmas
I can
and
handle
Easter.
That. Christmas. All right, we'll rethink that one. Well, this is great advice, and I really appreciate your perspective and appreciate the work that you're doing at LSS to helping our older loved ones stay healthy, and especially when it comes to nutrition. I've enjoyed our conversation. Melissa, thanks so much for coming over and sharing this with us, and I hope to talk with you more in the future.
Well, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Melissa Hoffman, a registered dietitian, regional dietitian for Lutheran Senior Services here at Laclede Groves in the St. Louis area. Well, we're going to talk about Cycle and Serve on the Mid-South District of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod up next. You're listening to Faith and Family on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
Concordia University, Mequon, Wisconsin, overlooks the beautiful shoreline of Lake Michigan. This serene main campus of CUW is just 15 miles north of Milwaukee, with all its vibrant cultural attractions. At Concordia University, Wisconsin, students living by the motto of inspiration in action can choose from 69 undergraduate majors, 14 master degree programs, and doctorates in pharmacy, physical therapy, and nursing practice. For more information or to take a virtual tour, visit cuw.edu.
Welcome back to Faith and Family. I'm Andy Bates. A pastor, a bicycle, maybe a hammer or two. What does this all have to do with an upcoming event? Well, Pastor Bill Undraka, senior pastor of Christus Victor Lutheran Church in Knoxville, Tennessee, in the Mid-South District of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, has a big trip planned. He and some others are looking to travel across the Mid-South District and get out on the streets, tell the good news of Jesus, maybe do some service projects along the way, and looking forward to learning from him about it. Joining me by phone now, the Reverend Bill Undraka, senior pastor of Christus Victor Lutheran Church in Knoxville, Tennessee. Pastor Bill, welcome.
Thank you, sir. Good to be here.
Oh, good to have you with us. Excited to hear about this trip. Tell us a little bit about your service at Christus Victor Lutheran Church in Knoxville, Tennessee, and life in the Mid-South District.
Life in the Mid-South District is amazing. We have a great district. We've got a lot of support to help the churches to grow. We have a lot of service projects down here that we take part in, and absolute blessing to be down here. Our church is a smaller congregation. We worship 70 to 80 people a week, two services on Sunday, and just a fun-loving, kind, generous group of people that I'm absolutely, totally blessed to be a part of their lives. So,
well, I am glad that that God has placed you there. And one of the things that that I understand you enjoy doing, you're an avid cyclist. What got you started in getting on that thing with two wheels?
Years ago when I started the seminary back in 2007, I had a slight weight problem, and I always told my wife that once I got my life settled, I would start to try to take care of myself, and I started trying to lose weight, and I saw a lot of people around St. Louis cycling, so I went and got myself a cheap 10-speed, and I quickly fell in love with cycling, and before too long, I fell underneath the wing of Dr. Kloa there at the seminary in St. Louis, and I began cycling, learning more about cycling and what benefits it could bring to me in my personal life and my spiritual life and the opportunities that came with it. So,
well, what prompted this idea of Cycle and Serve, travel across the Mid-South District, and we'll learn more about what you're going to do in this Cycle and Serve tour, but where did the idea begin for this, to jump on your bike and travel across the Mid-South District?
I kind of started with just a quick conversation I had with President Pavla about a year and a half ago. We were finishing up a project down here called Impact. This was the last year of the Impact Project to try to raise funds for church plants. And I told him, you know, it'd be nice if I love cycling, if there was something we could do to tie a project in to bring this impact project to completion, I'd like to take part in something like that. And before too long, Paul Rees called me, and he had an idea about a bigger project. I told him I listened to what he had to say, and the next thing you know, this idea was birthed, and it just continued to grow and grow and grow, and now it's happening. So it's absolutely a blessing. I'm looking forward to being a part of this.
So what all is going to happen? You're going to, in the not-so-distant future, you're getting on a bike and traveling how far?
Starting on Sunday, I'm going to be in Bentonville, Arkansas, and partnering with Bentonville Faith in Bentonville, then Bella Vista Lutheran Church in Bella Vista, Arkansas, to do a service project. And on Monday morning, I'm leaving Bentonville, and I'm riding south to Fort Smith, Arkansas, and doing a service project there. Every day I'll be on my bike riding anywhere from 60 to 115 miles almost, going from church to church to church, except for a couple of days or travel days. I'll be riding between churches. But the idea is for me to go to these different churches, and each church is going to have a service project that we'll be taking part in the community. The idea of what we're doing is in line with the mission that we have to reach the lost and to share the gospel of Christ with people. It's a mission-minded, servant-created event that we're trying to go from church to church, and each church has a different servant event that we'll be taking part in the community. It could be feeding the hungry. It could be cleaning up trash on a roadside, painting buildings, planting flowers, spreading mulch in the community. And we're bringing the church to the people. That way we can be an active part of the community, let the community know that we love the community, we want to be a part of the community. And by this, our goal is to invite people back to the church after the servant event for the celebration event, where we'll be breaking bread together, then sharing in a service that evening.
So there will be lots of people involved in this. It's not just you on a bike across the Mid-South. There are lots of people, the local congregations, getting out and serving in the communities. And you have the privilege of getting to be a part of that and seeing all of this as it happens. But getting out and serving in the community and being good neighbors, basically.
Yeah, it's not so much about what I'm doing. It's more about what the churches are doing. That's the drive behind it. That's the last thing I want is for the focus to be on me and what I'm doing. The focus is on what the churches is doing. And I have the blessed opportunity to share with these churches as I make my way across the district to share with them, shake hands with them, partner with them in service events so we can take part in the community.
Now, I know you're getting on your bike for this 1,200 miles. Anybody else making the road trip or the bike trip as well?
A friend of mine was going to, but unfortunately, on Tuesday morning, he called me, and as a storm passed through Knoxville, a big tree came and crushed his house, my friend Michael Carroll.
Oh.
So I ask we keep him in our prayers because he's not going to be able to make it for the first part of the trip. He might join me partway through. Dr. Kloa from Concordia Seminary St. Louis is joining me for a couple days, riding from Greer's Ferry, Arkansas, through Conway into Stuttgart, and then I have some other friends of mine that I cycle with here locally that are meeting me in Nashville and riding from Nashville to Chattanooga and back up to Knoxville.
Well, it'll be nice, I'm sure, to have some riding partners along the way as well. Glad to hear that. Sorry to hear that about your friend's home, and certainly we do lift him up in prayer.
Yes, he's an incredible gentleman, and he's become a good friend of mine through the years. We spent some time cycling together, and I just pray that the Lord is with him. He gives him patience during this time.
Pastor, why is this important to you? Why did you get involved with this whole tour and the idea of traveling across the district and meeting with so many people?
Well, we were planning. This is our 50th anniversary of the Mid-South being a district. So we wanted to do something big. And as one of the issues I have that I was facing in this is as we look at Christianity as a whole, it's been decreasing year after year after year. And I've always been a proactive kind of person. So I think it's time that we as Lutherans stand up and take a proactive stance to grow the church rather than just watching it wash itself away. So by this servant event, the cycling serve event, as we go in the community, like I said, we're going to take part in the community, and our goal is to raise awareness of the Lutheran churches in the community so the community can become part of the Lutheran church. So that way there we can actually start to reverse these numbers or perhaps see some growth across the Mid-South, not just the Mid-South, perhaps other districts and other churches across the country will perhaps pick up the energy that we're having and some of the ideas that we're doing to help grow the Lutheran church.
What do you know about the communities that you'll be visiting? I know you mentioned several of them, from Fort Smith, Arkansas, to back to Knoxville, Tennessee. What do you know about these communities along the way that you'll be visiting?
I know I've never been to any of them. I'll tell you that much. I know each one has its own particular challenge. Each one has its own servant event that they think is that they've carefully prayed about and carefully discerned over what is best for them to take part in the community, that the community really needs them to be a part of. So I know each church has carefully identified a specific servant event that they want to take part in. That's most of what I know about each community. I'm going from some larger churches to some smaller churches, and what's happening here also is I want to make sure you understand, if I go visit a church in Fort Smith, it's not just that church. It's all the churches of that circuit are gathering together in that church, and they're all going out. So it's not just the one church in each community. It's all the churches of that circuit are joining together and taking that energy out to all the churches in the whole entire circuit.
Now,
so it's not just individual churches.
And this is you know, a part of the Mid-South District, and Lutheran Church Extension Fund is a part of this as well.
Yes, I absolutely want to give thanks to Lutheran Church Extension Fund for seeing the vision and for seeing the importance of what we're doing here. Especially I want to say thank you to Becca Jones and Robin Linke for making this possible, and also want to take the time to say thank you to Paul Reese and to Renee McElwain for all that they've done here at the district office to help to organize things, to get the Facebook page out there, to get people involved, and to constantly have this in front of people so that this can be as beneficial as humanly possible.
All great folks that I've had a pleasure of talking with before, and I know that they work hard to support those of us out in the field, to support congregations so that they can do what they're given to do, that is telling the good news of Jesus in their everyday lives out in their communities.
Absolutely.
And in this way, you know, getting out into the community, being a good neighbor, doing these service projects, these servant events to help the neighbors know that we're here, we have the good news of Jesus, and we want to share it with you.
And we love them. We love them. We desire to be a part of their lives so they can be a part of our lives.
What do you think you might learn? What do you anticipate you might learn along this 1,200 the 1,200 miles?
What do I expect to learn?
Yeah,
that's a really big question. I expect to learn to meet a lot of people that I've talked with and to shake a lot of hands. And what I really expect to learn is what I'm looking forward to learning is seeing God's hand at work in all the different communities, and how even though we are all different members, we're all part of the same body, and how together, even though there might be 1,000 miles between us, what we're doing is for the betterment of the body to build the church.
Have you seen the list of the servant events, the projects that the communities will be doing? Do you know, are you familiar with any of them?
Yeah, I've talked every week for the past 5 or 6 weeks. We've been having a go-to meeting, and I've been talking with the pastors in different locations about visiting them and what we have going on, and I do have a list of all the different servant events, and like I said, they range in for anything from painting buildings to painting murals to cleaning out closets, picking up litter, feeding the hungry. So there's a bunch of different servant events that I'm really looking forward to taking part in.
What event will be taking place there in Knoxville?
In Knoxville, on May 1st, when we conclude here in Knoxville, will be a Grace Lutheran Church. And what they're having there is basically a bike rodeo for kids. We're going to have a bike rodeo for kids and adults, and we're also partnering with Children's Hospital here in the city. And they're helping us to raise money to be able to purchase helmets for children and adults so they can be properly fitted with a helmet. We're also going to have a number of different cycle shops out there doing fits for people so their bikes are properly fitted to them, doing minor repairs, and just helping the community to become aware of the benefits of cycling.
And I bet that's something you're eager about, since being an avid cyclist.
Well, I'm eager about that, absolutely. But the thing I'm most eager about is being able to touch the lives of people and share with them the love of Jesus. That's the first thing that stands out to me as a level of importance, is being able to meet people and share the love of Jesus, share the love of cycling, share the love of loving one another.
Of course, by this point, that's the end of the trip. You might be a little tired, huh?
Trip, yes. May 1st will be the end. That's our last big day. We're climbing up from Chattanooga, leaving that morning, and we're arriving in Knoxville between 2 and 2:30. It's around 109 miles, I think. So that's a great way to wrap it up.
And I would think that those are not 109 flat miles.
There's only a few of the rides out of the 14 days I'm riding that are close to being flat.
You are a brave soul.
I have a lot of trust in my Savior to keep me safe.
Well, thanks be to God for that. Getting on this bike and traveling across the district. You said you've had some online meetings to prepare for this. What's the response from others who are getting involved in preparing for this? What are they looking forward to? What have they been sharing with you about their preparations and what they're anticipating in their own communities?
A lot of them have shared with me that they have a lot of people that are really excited, that really took hold of these ideas and are looking forward to jumping out in the community. It's almost like they've been waiting for something to come along for them to grab hold of, to run with. And I think this is the one big thing that the Mid-South has been waiting for, to be able to use as a tool to be a part of the community.
In terms of the bike trip part of this, where does this fit in on a scale of 1 to 10, how difficult this bike trip might be compared to the other your other bike adventures? Where does this fit in for you?
In terms of 25 out of 10. I've never done anything this large. I've done some larger individual rides through just lasted a day, 6, 7, 8 hours. But never anything of this magnitude. This is beyond anything I've ever dreamt of doing.
How are you going to be able to ride, and then when you get to one of these communities, to have the stamina to help out with the servant events as well?
My goal is this. It's not really a race, it's a ride. So instead of me trying to get from point A to point B as quickly as possible, I'm going to try to pace myself so I don't burn myself out. So when I get to these destinations, I will have the opportunity to have energy left to share these service projects.
Is anyone documenting? Are you going to wear a camera or anything along the trip?
I'm not wearing a camera, but I'm blessed enough. My wife works for CPH, and she got some time off work to go on a mission trip with me, basically. And she's traveling with me with my father-in-law. They'll be in a camper, and they'll be documenting everything through pictures and putting stuff on Facebook so people can follow the progress of what's happening and see what's happening in the different servant events and see where we're at, be able to track our progression.
That's great. How can we follow on Facebook?
If you go to the Mid-South LCMS website, they have a link on there to the Cycle and Serve, or you can follow us if you search on Facebook at Mid-South Cycle and Serve. You can follow us on Facebook that way.
I think I found it yesterday on Facebook and started following it. So I'm looking forward to seeing the pictures.
Excellent.
And that's all starting. When do you get on your bike?
I will. My first pedal strokes will be on Monday morning about 7:30 in Bentonville, Arkansas.
All right, getting on the bike and then headed to, the first stop is Fort Smith. Is that right?
Yes.
And from there, from Fort Smith, heading to, what's your next stop?
My next stop, I'm heading to Mountain Home, but that's a two-day trip. It's over 160, 170 miles. So I'll be heading to Jasper, Arkansas. Then from Jasper, I'll be heading to Mountain Home. Then from Mountain Home, I'll head south towards Little Rock. I'll be stopping in Conway. just north of Little Rock. Then I'll be going to Stuttgart, which is east of Little Rock. And from there, I'll cross the river into Memphis. And from Memphis, I head north to Paducah, then Paducah to Nashville, then Nashville to Chattanooga, and then Chattanooga to Knoxville. So it's not an east-west trip. I spend more time going north and south.
Yeah, lots of almost like you're a sailing on a lake, zigging and zagging.
It's like a broken zipper, going back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. So.
Well, it sounds like an outstanding trip. I know that a lot of great things are going to happen along the way with all these servant events, and I hope some hospitality for you as well. Hope you get some rest along the way, and folks will be taking care of you.
Oh, I'm sure they are. A lot of people I've talked to already through these meetings that we've had are very concerned about my health and welfare to make sure I get adequate rest. So I know I'll be well taken care of, and over and above all things, I'm in God's hands. I'm his child, and this is all for the betterment of his kingdom. So I'm sure he will bless me in many ways that I will find ways to cherish and hang on to create great memories. So,
for those of us who aren't going to be on a bike, what can we do to be involved? Maybe our listeners, if you're listening now in the Mid-South District, how can we get involved? Or for those of us outside of the area, how can we follow along? How can we stay involved?
If to stay involved, you can follow on Facebook and leave some comments to help give us a little encouragement. Of course, I would ask you to pray for health, safety, and fair weather. For those in the Mid-South District, connect with the church locally. Find out what's happening and take part in a servant event. This is 14 days of sharing the gospel and being a part of the community. So I'm looking forward to people getting enthused, getting energized. And this is something that I don't want just to happen and Monday in this church, Tuesday in this church, Wednesday in this church. This is something that has to have a continual, ongoing type of effect that carries on through the year. I don't want this to be just a splash in a pan. I want this to be continual ripples that go out into our world.
Are there folks there in your own community, right there in Knoxville, that have shared what they're excited about with the upcoming event?
Yes, there are a number of people from the different churches that are cyclists. Every church that I'm riding to, they have cyclists. So what I'm inviting people to do is ride out to meet me. I'll be calling ahead to the church when I'm coming. I'm 30, 40 miles away from the church, and people in a community that want to ride with me can ride out to meet me on the route, and then finish the ride that day with me, or the next morning as I leave the church to begin my next ride, to ride out with me just for encouragement. So there's a lot of people that are involved. Locally, I have a lot of people that are joining me about 20 miles out on the last day. A lot of people looking forward to volunteering at the servant event at Grace. They've done a lot of great things there. The lady running the show over there, Tracy, she's done a really great job. She's worked with my wife to help organize things, to get things set up. So there's a lot of people that are really getting excited.
Absolutely, and with good reason. To get up, get moving, get out in the community, tell the good news of Jesus, serve the neighbor, show them Christ's love through these actions here.
Oh yes, absolutely.
Well, I've enjoyed learning about it. I pray that that all goes well, especially for good weather and good health during this trip, and that that it is a blessing to those who are serving and those who are being served through these servant events.
Absolutely. Continue your prayers when needed, my friend.
Absolutely. Well, we'll check it out on Facebook. Follow you, the Cycle and Serve on Facebook. Mid-South Cycle and Serve, is that right?
Mid-South Cycle and Serve, that's correct.
On Facebook, look for it. You can find Pastor Bill Ondraka on there, and follow the pictures as well. Hope to see some pictures coming up next week, seeing you out there on the bike and all the service, the servant events as well. Pastor Bill, thanks so much for being my guest today on Faith and Family. It was a privilege to talk with you, and I pray all goes well with this Cycle and Serve event.
And likewise do I. It was nice talking with you. Thanks for taking the time to allow me to be with you today.
You bet. God's peace.
God's peace, brother.
Coming up a week from today, Share-a-thon 2016, Share-a-thon 2016. I hope that listeners, that you can join us for this special event. We do this every year. It's been going on for over, I think Joni shared, over 25 years, if I remember correctly. We spend 3 days of celebrating the blessings that God has provided to tell the good news of Jesus on worldwide KFUO, not just here in St. Louis. St. Louis has always been a great audience, and we love telling the good news of Jesus on AM 850 here in St. Louis, but also online at KFUO.org through our live stream. You can listen online at KFUO.org, many of you listening through that, through our app, our KFUO app, and through On Demand on our website. You can go back and listen to the recorded programs on demand on our website. For example, today's Faith and Family, you can listen to that. Once it's uploaded to the website, click on it, download it, listen to it at your convenience. You can also do that through iTunes, through the podcast. You can look for KFUO on iTunes and find many of our talk programs there as well. And just you can even subscribe to them on iTunes podcasts. And then when there's a new program uploaded, it goes right into your inbox and you can have it ready to listen to at your convenience. All great ways to listen to worldwide KFUO. Coming up on this first day, a week from today on Share-a-thon, a lot of great guests. The Reverend Marcus Zill, director of LCMSU Campus Ministry for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. He's going to be joining me for that first hour, and we'll have a great time talking and learning about a little bit about, his great program, the Student Union, that comes up on Wednesday afternoons at 2 o'clock. You can listen to that here, or you can find the archives on our website, kfuo.org. In the second hour, Pastor Michael Salamink and Pastor Asbury, Pastor Mark Wood, all joining us during the 8 o'clock hour on that day. And Pastor Larry Troxell's lined up for that day. Dr. John Vicker, the Reverend Dr. Matthew Harrison, all lined up for that first day of Share-a-thon. Coming up 1 week from today, listen and join along. Learn about becoming a day sponsor as well. Hope you can join us for that. Thanks so much for joining me. If you have a topic that you'd like for us to cover here on Faith and Family, send me an email, family@kfuo.org. Share your ideas with me. Love to hear your feedback as well. If we covered something that you appreciated, you enjoyed hearing, send me an email, family@kfuo.org. Love to hear from you and learn what our listeners appreciate as well. Coming up in just a little bit, Thy Strong Word. Pastor Asbury filling in for Pastor Whedon this week. Have a wonderful day in the Lord.
Listen to Faith and Family Monday through Friday at this time. Faith and Family is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for Faith and Family to continue. Our address is 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can contact us on the web and download Faith and Family at kfuo.org. Worldwide KFUO, on the air, online, and on demand.